Ted Kennedy, measles epidemics are erupting because our policy on childhood immunization is penny-wise and dollar-foolish. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you like to complain about federal spending, but sometimes your position is just plain indefensible. Take childhood immunization. Every dollar spent on immunization saves $10 in later costs for deadly childhood diseases like measles, whooping cough, and polio. The Reagan years were a decade of neglect. We severely shortchanged immunization, and we still haven't closed the gap. Now we're paying the price in costly epidemics of measles and other diseases that are easily prevented. Our record for vaccinating children under 2 is worse than most third world nations. To make matters worse, the administration now wants to deny food, welfare, and other benefits to families if children aren't immunized. That's too cruel by half, Al. You can't deny access to immunization and then punish those who don't have it.
Ted, I do know the importance of shots. I'm sometimes seeing you foam at the mouth. Kids are not being cruelly turned away. Fact is that the Bush administration just asked for an extra $40 million to complete vaccinations this year, and that's on top of the $220 million we've already spent. As for your nasty crack about denying welfare benefits to families who don't immunize their kids, the plan would only require someone to pick up their food stamps twice a month until they immunize. That small inconvenience should encourage low-income family kids to have their shots, not cut anyone off, ever. Ted, the problem isn't a lack of congressional funding or presidential concern. It's families who just don't seem to understand the vital importance of childhood immunization. Ignorance breeds disease, Ted. It's too bad we can't vaccinate against senators who have a rash against using the facts. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. To get the fat cat cocaine kingpin Pablo Escobar to surrender, Colombia built him a custom-made prison. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Pablo Escobar has earned 3 billion dirty bucks in his deadly dope trade, but at last he turned himself in for a nice soft sentence and no extradition to the U.S. Ted, the way you love to coddle criminals, you'll like the deal Escobar cut for himself. He gets to build his own prison that'll look more like a condo than a cell, complete with a game room and color TV yet. He can decorate it any way he'd like and could even continue to run his drug empire from a bank of phones and fax machines there. The only question is whether the guards are there to keep Escobar from breaking out or the poor old enraged Colombians from breaking in and breaking him. Ted, I know you'll want to study this kind of a clink as a model for U.S. jails, but I say prisons should be about penalties and not palaces.
Al, you don't understand the drug problem in the United States, so there's no chance you'd understand it in Colombia. Perhaps Colombia could have done better. Time will tell. But that prison is more penalty than palace, as Escobar is finding out. We know what Colombia has gone through against the drug traffickers. Courageous Colombian leaders have risked their lives to stand up to the murderous drug barons and rid their country of the cocaine cartel. Escobar, the godfather of the cartel, has been on the lam for months. His surrender may be the law enforcement breakthrough that means Colombia has turned the tide. It may even mean the major supply lines to the United States are finally broken. Yet here comes old crank Al Simpson telling Colombia they did it all wrong and that they should have been tougher on Escobar. Well, they got their man, Al. They don't need you second-guessing how they did it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on sanctions against South Africa. It's too soon to repeal them. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. South Africa is making progress towards ending apartheid, but not enough to justify ending U.S. economic sanctions. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's hard to believe, but the Bush administration, after its bitter and divisive opposition to civil rights in the United States, now wants to cozy up to the racist apartheid regime in South Africa. The administration is also eager to trade with the brutal regime in China, and it has no qualms about trading with apartheid either. Only this time, Al, there's a law on the books to prevent it. True, South Africa is making progress towards ending apartheid, but a 1986 statute enacted by Congress over President Reagan's veto set 5 strict conditions requiring much greater progress before U.S. sanctions are lifted. If South Africa wants us to terminate our sanctions, let them comply with the law. That means meeting all 5 conditions for ending apartheid, not just 1 or 2 of them.
Racism and Bush, huh? How ugly. One or two conditions, Ted? You really need to keep up with current events. South Africa has now met four of the five conditions the U.S. set down for lifting sanctions. Last week, South Africa removed the last pillar of apartheid by voting to abolish its race registration law. But instead of praising President de Klerk for tearing down that and other segregation laws, you just want to yammer and hammer him by saying it's not enough. That's nuts, Ted. The final condition left is the full release of political prisoners. De Klerk has already set free 1,000 prisoners and has only a few hundred left to go, the tough birds. Legally, apartheid is now dead and the U.S. should keep its promise. Don't pile new conditions on South Africa after it just met the ones we put on them back in 86. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on using cable TV to broadcast messages of hate and violence. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Cable companies are now being obligated to air messages of hate and violence and can't do a thing to stop it. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, back in 84, Congress approved sweeping cable TV legislation. One of the little goodies we included in that bill was the public access channel, a way for average citizens to sound off. Now, some neo-Nazis, seeking ways to spread their message of hate and fear, have discovered public access channels are just the spot for them. Under present federal law, cable companies are powerless to stop them. Ted, it is so ironic that the FCC imposes decency rules on TV broadcasts but prohibits cable companies from even setting their own standards. Ted, this is a problem we created. We can fix it. Or will you be selling out for some contorted liberal view of free speech rights for Nazis and hate groups?
Tell it to Thomas Jefferson, Al. That's what the Bill of Rights is all about. Free speech for everyone, not just Al Simpson and speech you agree with. Cable companies understand the issue better than you do, Al. They don't like the garbage that parades under free speech either, any more than you and I do. But they know how important free speech is. They know the alternatives are worse. Who gets to be the censor? What else gets censored? It's the old Simpson double standard. You right-wingers don't mind censoring others, but you're quick to take offense when your own speech is challenged. Take the so-called PC movement on college campuses. That stands for political correctness, not personal computers. You're up in arms about that, Al, and rightly so, because it's an unfair attempt to muzzle right-wing speech. If you don't like what you hear on cable channels, Al, turn off the TV. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Women in Combat. They earned their wings in the Persian Gulf War. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to repeal archaic statutes that exclude women from military combat positions. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, after the Persian Gulf War, old male chauvinist Simpson must be having second thoughts about outdated statutes excluding women from combat roles in the armed forces. Barriers based on sex discrimination are coming down in other professions. Why not the military? Combat exclusions are not workable prohibitions in modern high-tech warfare. Women by the thousands serve brilliantly in the Persian Gulf, often in great danger. The right test is ability to perform. Pick the best person for the job. Otherwise, the quality of the armed forces will suffer. Even your friend Dick Cheney at the Pentagon is getting the message, Al. He's for repealing the statutory combat exclusions and giving women greater opportunities to serve. If even the Pentagon sees the light, how much longer before caveman Homer Simpson comes out of his cave? Come on, Al. Be all you can be.
Homer Simpson, you rascal. But, Ted, you know more about caving in than I do. After all, you're the one who failed to support President Bush during Desert Shield and Storm, but that hasn't kept you from trying to bask in the credit. Boy, now with your newfound wisdom, you've decided women should be thrown into combat, ready or not. Ted, let's give Dick Cheney the discretionary power to decide when and where women can fill combat duty and on a case-by-case basis. Even if you don't see it, there is a slight difference between female pilots flying bombing runs and women on the front line fighting in hand-to-hand combat. Ted, Desert Storm proved again the vital role women so deserve in America's armed services. But since the most dangerous combat mission you ever took on was with a crab fork and a toothpick, I'll let Dick Cheney decide this one. P.S. I heard the crab won. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Why are Democrats stalling us on new civil rights legislation? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, all through the spring, you could hear reporters and politicians alike mumbling about the civil rights bill, including issues like quotas and adjusting test scores to favor minorities. But as summer brightens, a hush falls over Capitol Hill. After the feeding frenzy when the House passed its civil rights legislation, including you Dems calling anyone who didn't agree with you a racist, the bill lobbed into the Senate's court hasn't been seen or heard from since. Ted, Senate Republicans want to debate and pass a good civil rights bill. President Bush wants a sensible civil rights bill he can sign, too. So why the stall tactics? Stop playing political games with this baby and at least let us have a fair and honest debate on the floor of the Senate.
Al, you're not part of the solution on civil rights. You're the problem, and so is President Bush. Last year, the Senate came within a hair, a single vote, of overriding President Bush's veto of the Civil Rights Act of 1990. You held the balance, Al. You could have struck a blow against discrimination, but you kowtowed to the White House. You joined the right-wing chorus raising that false and cynical hue and cry of quotas. The issue is job discrimination, not quotas. The country knows the difference. No one's for quotas, Al. People deserve to be judged on their individual ability, not by race or sex or religion. We need a strong Civil Rights Act to end the rampant bias in the workplace that denies equal job opportunity for millions of women and minorities. Don't dig yourself in too deep against civil rights, Al. Don't let the party of Lincoln become the party of prejudice. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the recession that never ends. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The economy is still trapped in this long recession. Does anyone in the White House care or even notice? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, as we head into the summer, we're approaching an unfortunate and unnecessary anniversary. In July, the nation's recession will be 1 year old. For months, the Bush administration has been in its Herbert Hoover mode. They keep telling us not to do anything, that anything we do won't help and might even be harmful, that recovery is just around the corner. But it's almost July with no corner in sight. Nearly 2 million Americans have lost their jobs in the past year. 1 million more have dropped out of the labor force, no longer even looking for work because there aren't any jobs. They can't even get unemployment insurance because of Reagan and Bush budget cuts. When the economy is wrong, nothing else is right. Leave a wake-up call at the White House, Al. The silence is deafening.
Ted, save your old wake-up call for Chicken Little. The sky is not falling, and the American people are prepared to meet this recession head-on. You really underestimate the strength and spirit of our nation. Most Democrats do. But, Ted, you ignore the facts. The latest May figures show industrial output climbing while inflation remains in check. The administration has been working to keep interest rates down, and even our exports have begun to boom. Best of all, unemployment is beginning to fall and the markets are surging. Ted, you may think those are signs of a country which has given up. I sure don't. Ted, get yourself a new alarm clock and rise up to see a new day has dawned. And while you're at it, you could help us bring deficit spending down. You could help the economy yourself, Ted, but you never do. You never vote to cut anything. You Dems got us here. This is Senator Al Simpson. Let's face off by lighting a 4th of July firecracker under Ted Kennedy on our nation's birthday. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. As we celebrate the 4th of July today, let's light old Ted Kennedy's fuse and see if we can skyrocket him. In a moment, he and I will face off. Ted, get out the sparklers. It's time to light up the sky and celebrate the 4th. This year, we have an awful lot to be thankful for. Our successful troops are back. Those nations without freedom are moving ahead steadily to get it. And right here at home, our struggle with the economy shows signs of paying off. Ted, America's freedom was born out of struggle, something our fine citizens have never been afraid to do. That's really what freedom is all about, Ted. That's what Congress is all about, too. We continually struggle and often disagree, so to ensure that our great nation considers all of the ideas possible so we can pick out the best ones. Happy 4th of July to you, Ted. Don't sit on any firecrackers and keep your powder dry.
Al, a glorious 4th of July to you, too, from Hyannisport, where the Kennedys are gathered. Like you, we're all thankful that the troops are home. The fireworks going off today are celebrating their return. No more Patriot missiles chasing Iraqi Scuds. It's also a day to remember a little history, Al. Reflecting on the country's past can help us set a truer course to a better future. The issues we face today are serious, but they pale beside the challenges that face the delegates of the 13 colonies who met in Philadelphia in 1776 and declared the enduring words that ring out to us across the years. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 215 years ago today, Al, and truer words were never written. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on race discrimination and the death penalty. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to abolish racial discrimination and capital punishment. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you've cast a truckload of bad votes on civil rights in your day, but the worst one may be your opposition last month to our effort in the crime bill to eliminate race discrimination in death penalty cases. You and I disagree about capital punishment. The Bush administration is inflaming the issue to divert attention from their do-nothing crime policy. They're against gun control and other serious steps to help local police fight crime. Off with their heads may work in Al Simpson's Wonderland, but it won't stop crime in the real world. Whatever you think about capital punishment, Al, can't we at least agree that imposing it in a racially discriminatory way is wrong? Study after study shows that death sentences in almost every jurisdiction are significantly tainted by racial bias. You really must be living in death penalty wonderland, Al, if you tolerate that.
Is everything racist with you? Ted, in the 25,000 murders committed in America each year, only a handful of the killers ever find themselves on death row. Then, thanks to you and your liberal buddies, even these vicious animals avoid execution for decades, if not their entire life, through an endless maze of legal appeals. Instead of facing off, you should be facing the music. We need a tough, strong death penalty to deter hideous crimes, but until we begin cleaning up death row cases which have hung around for 30 years, criminals sure won't get the message. Ted, as for your so-called Racial Justice Act, we already protect against jury selections bias. All your bill would do is give every con on death row a new trial. Instead of just adding to the confusion, help us find a way to end the madness of a society which tolerates violent, senseless murder. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether the Soviet Union should be allowed to join the International Monetary Fund. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should the Soviets be invited to join the International Monetary Fund, which really stands for capitalism worldwide? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Gorbachev is obviously not beyond asking anyone for a loan these days. Now he wants a $1 billion bailout from the Group of Seven, made up of the world's most developed nations. He even wants to sign up and join with the International Monetary Fund. Last week, the G7 ministers gave the preliminary approval to allow Moscow to become an associate member, but they also said no way to direct financial help. Let Gorby and the Soviet Union make a stronger commitment to capitalism before they start borrowing money from a system they once swore to destroy. Ted, you've always been a complete sucker for any welfare programs. Are you going to fall for this one, too?
Al, no country wants to open its treasury to the Soviet Union. Investment, yes. Welfare, no. That's only the beginning of the debate, not the end. Let's draw the right line, not a far-right line, between wasted dollars and worthwhile investments to help the Soviet Union to become a free market economy. It's not easy. Without Western aid, it probably won't happen. President Bush is taking sensible steps. He said no to you and your Soviet-bashing colleagues and approved new U.S. guarantees for grain sales to the Soviet Union. He invited Gorbachev to the Western Economic Summit in London later this month. The Cold War's dead, Al. If we encourage Soviet reform, it'll stay dead. Strain your brain, Al. Think back a half a century. After World War II, the Marshall Plan gave a U.S. helping hand to our former mortal enemies and turned them into major friends. Not a bad precedent, Al, for the Soviet Union now. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on public health enemy number one, cigarette advertising. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. is Ted Kennedy. Cigarettes are public health enemy number one. Is Senator Al Simpson ready to declare war on tobacco? In a moment, we'll find out on Face Off. Al, every year, 450,000 Americans die from smoking at an annual cost to the economy of over $50 billion. If a foreign enemy caused those casualties, we'd declare all-out war. But the power of the tobacco lobby stops us from protecting the public health, while the tobacco industry shamelessly blankets the country with billions of dollars in advertising every year to encourage citizens to start smoking and keep smoking. Now Congress is fighting back. Legislation is moving in the Senate to fund a public interest advertising campaign to tell the truth about tobacco, put bigger warning labels on cigarette packs, enforce state laws against sales to minors, and repeal the preposterous law that prohibits states from restricting cigarette advertising. You're in the tank for most special interests, Al, but make an exception, take a deep breath, and do what's right on tobacco.
Well, I'd like to take a deep breath, Ted, but I'd choke on that cheroot of yours. Ted, you always amaze me. You stand up for flag burners and call that free speech. Then you turn 180 degrees around and deny advertisers a First Amendment right. Ted, your smokescreen legislation would cost taxpayers $110 million a year. Even then, only 10 to 20 states would get your special grants to discourage smoking. Ted, cigarette companies can't advertise on TV. The potent printed warning by the Surgeon General is ignored, and making it bigger won't help a bit. What works is the no-nonsense approach that kids get in school about the reality of coughing your brains out and dying from emphysema. Ted, we all see through your old smoke and mirrors. Why can't you light up or lighten up? This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on problems with the nuclear arms treaty with the Soviet Union. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty talks are all snagged up and moving along at a snail's pace. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the START treaty negotiation to cut in half the nuclear arsenals of the Soviet Union and the United States has been in the works now for almost a decade. Even while in what is seen as economic ruin, the Soviets still pose a highly formidable threat to our nation's security, outgunning our intercontinental ballistic missiles in numbers of 3-1. Ted, the U.S. is so very close to achieving a reasonable nuclear treaty with the Soviets, but they will remain unwilling to budge on some key points like verification and how to resolve violations. But when we're this close, let's not blow it all by rushing ahead too swiftly. Bad pun. Of course, I would expect you to eventually side with our fine Secretary of State Jim Baker over the position of President Gorbachev, right?
Al, that treaty in waiting may be the longest-running arms control negotiation in history. 9 years the talks have been going on. The question is, will START ever finish? If it does, it'll be worth the wait. A 30% reduction in U.S.-Soviet nuclear arsenals, a giant step back from the nuclear brink and the danger of all-out nuclear war. One reason for the delay in recent months is that both sides were also negotiating the treaty to reduce conventional forces in Europe. But nuclear reductions are even more important, and the lack of progress is cause for real concern. The danger is that right-wingers in the United States are pushing President Bush to drive too tough a bargain, while hardliners in the Kremlin try to keep Gorbachev from making any Soviet concessions. Tell President Bush to end the stalemate, Al. The last thing we need is brinkmanship at the nuclear brink. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on redlining by banks against poor neighborhoods. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Bank lobbyists want Congress to exempt local banks from a law that prevents them from discriminating against poor neighborhoods. No way. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Congress got a taste of people power the other day. Last month, bank lobbyists persuaded a House subcommittee to exempt banks from a requirement that prevents redlining. That's the practice by which bankers draw red lines around poor neighborhoods and refuse to make loans for business investment there, even though the investments are sound. Banks accept deposits from poor neighborhoods, and they should make investments there, too. Congress outlawed redlining in 1977, Al, and banks have been complaining ever since, scheming to repeal the law. They finally got their way, but not for long. The public outcry was so great that the committee quickly reversed itself and restored the prohibition. Speak up against redlining, Al. We need to root out bigotry wherever it exists, even when it comes all dressed up in the clothes of bankers.
Surprised you didn't call it racism, Ted. This has nothing to do with bigotry or discrimination. We already have some tough equal opportunity housing laws on the books to prevent that ugliness. What you can't seem to see is that Congress places so many restrictions on small banks that can't make the right investments which help them to survive. Nobody wants to redline a neighborhood. That stuff was outlawed 15 years ago. All most Republicans want is greater flexibility to help keep the small banker from going under. Way to go, Ted. All you'd accomplish is to force small banks to make risky loans. Next, you'll be wondering why the banking industry is on the ropes while scratching your dome and trying to blame all Republicans for the savings and loan bailout. Make up your mind before we all go broke. You got us here. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Congress forcing the Pentagon to spend big bucks for a program the brass doesn't want. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress has now forced the military to buy $200 million worth of depleted uranium, something the Pentagon doesn't want or need. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, for years now, I've listened to you moan and rant about military waste. The Pentagon has worked its tail off to clean up overspending, but Congress doesn't always help out. One example comes from your old home state of Massachusetts. A defense contractor there put the muscle on lawmakers, Massachusetts style, to force them to spend $200 million to buy depleted uranium, the metal used to make armor-piercing bullets. Trouble is, Ted, the Pentagon has enough depleted uranium for 100 years of warfare. Top brass wants Congress to call off this Treasury raid. $200 million might be pocket change to you, Ted, but all you're really doing is making chumps out of the taxpayers. Hail pork.
Al, when it comes to uranium, old Radioactive Simpson is right up there with a big pork barrel of his own. You're so hooked on nuclear power, you've even supported a taxpayer bailout of the U.S. uranium mining industry. You want to be sure we have enough fuel for nuclear power plants we don't need, don't want, and can't be made safe. Cool Hand Nuke, they called you, Al. You also distorted the facts on the defense stockpile. In 1989, the Army itself called for stockpiling so-called depleted uranium. It's denser than lead and hard as steel. It's a key ingredient in the armor-piercing anti-tank ammunition our A-10 attack planes used so effectively against Iraqi tanks in the Persian Gulf War. No purchases have been made yet for the stockpile, and the Pentagon will report this summer on whether they are needed. Hold your armor-piercing fire, Al. Let's see what the Pentagon says.
This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on labor's right to strike and what business can and can't do about it. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. An insidious new tactic by big business is undermining a basic right of workers, the right to strike. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, more and more businesses are resorting to an unfair anti-labor tactic that jeopardizes one of the most fundamental rights of American workers, the right to go on strike. What's happening is that management threatens to fire any workers who go on strike and then hires permanent replacements if they do. Management did just that in the recent strikes at Eastern Airlines, Greyhound, and the New York Daily News. It's a hard-nosed tactic, Al, but it's counterproductive. It poisons the well, makes every strike worse, and sours long-run relations between business and labor. According to a recent study, in cases where permanent replacements were hired, strikes averaged a year long, compared to 60 days in other cases. Stand up for workers, Al. No one should lose their job because they exercise their legitimate right to strike.
Ted, since 1938, the U.S. Supreme Court has allowed workers who are on strike to be replaced. Workers surely do have the right to strike, but management must also have the right to keep their company from going down the tubes. Well, labor unions go on a strike and force a business to go bankrupt, like with Eastern Airlines or the New York Daily News. Nobody wins. Everybody loses. Ted, right now, you and your liberal chums are supporting legislation to prevent strike replacements. The bill by you dim-witted Dems does nothing to prevent a union from destroying a company. Worst of all, it does nothing to curb the violence of striking workers, something we simply cannot tolerate. Ted, you whack on all the Republican efforts to end the recession, but then you turn right around and support all of the social crusades which create economic chaos. You're a real puzzle, pal. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. A whole posse of deadbeat dads are still not paying their fair share of child support for millions of kids. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, child support is an issue that really hits home, especially when kids end up paying the price for fathers who flee their financial obligations. At the start of 1990, $18 billion was owed by the delinquent dads of 16 million children. Since more than 25% of American babies are now being born to single mothers, the bills are piling up even higher. Ted, for years, Congress has pushed the states to garnish wages and hold back tax refunds from these dud dads. But states could still use more help from the federal government in finding these fathers, especially when the mass of disappearing dads move out of state or change jobs. Don't tell me anymore, the checks in the mail. We've heard that old one before. Nail them.
Al, child support enforcement is one of the most difficult social problems we face. Deadbeat fathers go to any lengths to avoid the child support they owe. It's costing billions of dollars in welfare that taxpayers have to pay. We've been struggling with the problem for years without much success. A federal-state program established in 1975 helps locate absent parents, decide paternity, obtain child support orders, and collect payments. But these steps are expensive. Sometimes they cost more than the child support that's obtained. Often, when deadbeat dads are tracked down, they have no jobs and no money to pay support. Here's a new idea for you, Al. Job training, so that jobless fathers can get jobs and pay the child support they owe. To encourage states to provide good training, let the states share in the federal welfare savings that result when child support starts flowing. It's worth a try, Al, because little else is working. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.